So we're in batch number two now of local news and features on Update Talking News Stoke and North Staffordshire. And we have four headlines for you coming up. And Liz's headlines are...
Teacher jailed for 14 years after he groomed and abused four boys. And book of condolence to open as tributes pour in for Newcastle Underline Mayor.
And Kath's headlines are...
I've got council under fire as block drains and grids blamed for Staffordshire flooding. And high street chain with store in Pottery Centre goes into administration as closures loom.
So over to Liz, who's going to do the first story for us in batch two.
Teacher jailed for 14 years after he groomed and abused four boys. A teacher convicted of historic charges of sexual abuse against four boys has been jailed for 14 years. Martin Wynne, aged 50, denied a total of 21 charges, but was convicted after a trial at Stoke-on-Trent Crown Court of three charges of indecency with a child under 15, and 15 charges of indecent assault on a boy under 16. His offending, which spanned for about 10 years, involved him performing sex acts on the boys and some of them performing sex acts on him. Prosecutor Gordon Aspden Casey said, "There was clear planning and premeditation. The offences have had a profound effect on the victims and their families." The court heard Wynne of Old Hall Drive, Bradwell, worked at Chesterton Community Sports College and was also a volunteer at the youth club in Chesterton. Caroline Harris, mitigating, said a sexual harm prevention order, an SHPO, was not necessary. She said Wynne was relatively young when the offences were committed. Ms. Harris added, "This is not a case where the defendant was using and abusing his position through the youth club and the school. This is not a case where it is suggested that there were any threats or bribes or similar." Ms. Harris said, "Wynne is held in high regard." She added, "He has done a lot of good in the community. His references speak of him in full knowledge of his convictions. He has lost his reputation in the community and lost his employment. He has lost his home as a result. He was a relatively young man at the time of the allegations." Jailing Wynne, Judge Sally Hancock said, "Each of your victims gave clear and compelling evidence of your sexual wrongdoing. I have no doubt that many in the courtroom were humbled by the dignity of those men. You were a much younger man when these offences were committed, in your late teens through to your early 20s. You were also involved with the local youth club. You were well regarded and trusted by others to have a care for their children. Your victims have now had their voices heard and their allegations now proven. Each has struggled with the knowledge and memory of what they did. They have felt it was they who were in the wrong, they who must carry the burden, and they have struggled with their emotions. There is no suggestion that you have offended against any young person for the many years since as part of the youth club to which you have devoted your time or in the school to which you worked, rising to assistant head teacher. You have been a good and decent man, hardworking and helpful. It is to your credit that even in the knowledge of the allegations, there have been those who have put pen to paper. While that happened in the past was very serious, they explained in the decades since you have been nothing less than positive." Judge Hancock said it was not appropriate to make an SHPO, that's a sexual harm prevention order, but she made Wynne the subject of indefinite restraining orders in respect of the victims. The judge added, "There were elements of grooming. There are multiple offences that need to be taken into account. The offences were committed over lengthy periods of time. There was some planning. Since the commission of your sexual wrongdoing, there has been a considerable passage of time with no suggestion that there had been any wrongdoing since that time. You have no previous convictions or cautions recorded against you. Wynne must serve half the sentence before his release with the rest on licence. He was placed on the sex offenders register for the rest of his life."
Okay, so over to Kath now, who's going to do her first story for us in batch two.
Council under fire as blocked drains and grids blamed for Staffordshire flooding. A Stafford Borough councillor has called on the county authority to take urgent action to tackle flooding issues in rural areas by making sure drains and grids are maintained and cleaned regularly. Councillor Alex Sandiford said residents in Barlaston, Fulford, Mere Heath, Rough Close and Savilly Green have experienced repeated flooding caused by blocked or neglected drainage systems. The Fulford ward councillor urged residents to raise block drains and other highway issues promptly on the Staffordshire County Council's reporting system. He said, "Flooding caused by block drains and grids is entirely avoidable, yet it remains a persistent problem for residents. Maintaining these essential systems should be a fundamental duty of the County Council's Highways Department. Neglecting this basic responsibility not only causes damage to roads and property, but also risks the safety and well-being of local communities. Clearing and maintaining drains and grids is not a luxury, it's a necessity. With proper care, we can reduce the risk of flooding, protect our communities, and save taxpayers' money in the long run. In early January, roads across the borough were affected by floods." Local County Councillor Ian Perry, who represents the Stone Rural Division, said, "Unusually high levels of rainfall over the winter have caused significant flooding problems in many areas. Climate change, and in most cases a backlog of maintenance of water causes, has caused more flooding issues than normal. Most of the flooded areas have been explored and work started to get to the cause of the problem, but there is more to do. We have increased both the amount we are spending and capacity of our maintenance teams to get ahead of the problem. I hope that people can bear with us as we do our best to tackle what has now become a significant environment challenge." Mark DeVille, Staffordshire County Council's Cabinet Member for Strategic Highways, said Staffordshire's road network is huge, stretching to more than 6,000 kilometres, which is why we're investing an additional £45 million over 3 years in its maintenance and upkeep. In 2024, more than 53,000 gullies were cleared, and in July, August and September, for example, we were clearing around 8,000 a month compared to 4,000 a month for the same period the year before. Overall, we did a fifth more in 2024 than in 2023, and that work continues this year as we recognise its importance. However, it's all too easy for sudden violent downpours to sweep soil and debris off private land onto the roads, and I would urge people to use our updated report system to let us know if there's a problem in their area.
Okay, so over to Liz now for her next story.
Book of condolence to open as tributes pour in for Newcastle Under Lyme Mayor. A book of condolence has opened in memory of Newcastle Under Lyme Mayor Barry Panter following his sudden death. Councillor Panter, 75, lost his fight for life in hospital earlier this month after his car collided head-on with a tractor near Wall. The Madeley resident had represented the Loggerheads ward on the Borough Council since 2016. On Thursday, the 20th of February, the Book of Condolence was placed in the library area on the ground floor of Castle House and is available all day. All mayoral engagements have been cancelled until after the funeral, the date of which is still to be confirmed. The Union flag in Queen's Gardens outside Castle House will remain at half-mast until the evening of Mr. Panter's funeral. Simon Tagg, leader of Newcastle Under Lyme Borough Council, said, "Since this terrible news emerged, we have been contacted by many people emphasising their appreciation for Barry Panter's work in the community and expressing their shock and sadness at his untimely death. We would like to give residents an opportunity to express that in a formal way, and then we will pass the book of condolence to his wife, Beatrix." Meanwhile, tributes continue to pour in for Mr. Panter. Here is a selection of them. Reverend Tim Watson, Vicar of Madeley and Betley. "We are all devastated to hear the news about Major Mayor Barry. It has come as a great shock to us all. I'd seen Barry on Wednesday evening at the full council meeting, and then on Thursday morning when he was speaking enthusiastically and excitedly about the money he was raising for the mayor's charities. Barry was a kind-hearted man who brought people together across the political spectrum. He was passionate about his local community, and he relished visiting local charities and seeing the great work they were doing. On a personal level, Barry always asked about my family when I saw him. He was a genuinely kind man, and our thoughts and prayers are with his widow and wider family. Newcastle under Lyme MP Adam Joji. Shocked and deeply saddened to hear of the news of the death of the Mayor of Newcastle under Lyme, Councillor Barry Panter. We were together just a couple of weeks ago, marking the 130th anniversary of the Dig Lake colliery disaster. My wife and I send our deepest condolences to his wonderful wife Beatrix and to all his family and friends. Our thoughts and prayers go out to all who knew him and who, like me, will miss him. Madeley Parish Council. It is with great sadness that we report the passing of the Mayor of Newcastle under Lyme and Madeley resident Barry Panter. A former parish council on Madeley Parish Council, Barry was a much loved and respected member of our community, and his passing is felt by us all. The thoughts and wishes of the whole council and community are with Barry's family at this time of great sadness. Stoke-on-Trent MP David Williams. I am so sad to learn of the news that the Mayor of Newcastle under Lyme, Barry Panter, has died. I first met Barry at a fundraiser event for Parkinson's UK North Staffordshire branch at the Ash Inn in Mocarp. I also enjoyed the company of Barry and his lovely wife Beatrix at the Port Vale Foundation Awards a few months ago. I found Barry to be an incredibly decent person, and I enjoyed meeting him. I wish to send my deepest condolences to Barry's wife Beatrix and the family.
Okay, so over to Kath now, who's going to do the final story for us in batch two.
High Street chain with store in Pottery Centre goes into administration as closures loom. Hundreds of employees at a major high street chain may be at risk of losing their jobs. Quiz Clothing called administrators in just days after its shares were removed from the London Stock Exchange, with at least 23 of its stores set to close. The fashion chain, chaired by former JD Sports chief Peter Cowgill, has brought insolvency practitioner Tenio on board as an administrator to Zandra Retail. The firm operates Quiz's 60 standalone stores in the UK and Ireland, including one store inside the Pottery Shopping Centre in Hanley. Shiraz Ransom, CEO of Quiz, told Sky News that the board took the difficult decision to appoint administrators to Zandra Retail Limited in light of the continuing challenging trading conditions impacting the group's performance. He added, "We are deeply sorry to those affected by the store closures, including our retail colleagues. However, this decision will put the business in a more sustainable footing for the future and protect several hundred jobs as a result. The 200 or so lost jobs will be salvaged in a rescue deal set up as a pre-pack administration, which will see the remaining assets of the business acquired by Orion Retail, a subsidiary of the company controlled by the founding Ransom family. Orion will hold the right to trade from 42 outlets previously occupied by Zandra." A Quiz spokesperson said the transaction will preserve the majority of jobs at risk. Quiz's main lender, HSBC, had also recently hired restructuring experts at Interpath for advice. The store's online business, concessions and international operations, all of which are operated by separate group subsidiaries, will not be affected by the announcement. The news comes after a number of high street stores announced possible closures in recent weeks, including WH Smith's, which had been in talks to sell its entire high street chain of roughly 500 stores and 5,000 employees. Poundland's parent company, Pepco, also brought in consultants from Alex Partners last month to assess potential paths forward for the struggling discount retailer. Gavin Mayer, joint administrator, said, although the sale has resulted in the transfer of a number of jobs, it has been necessary to make redundancies. We appreciate that this is a difficult and uncertain time for all involved and are communicating appropriately with all employees, customers and stakeholders.
Wonderful stuff. Keep listening for the final batch with Kath and Liz. Batch number 3 coming up in a moment.